How God brought us to New Guinea. A lot of folks ask that question. How did you wind up there? I think the first step was I failed a psychiatric test 3 times in a row. So God said, "You're qualified to be a missionary in New Guinea." That was the first step. You have to look at that place with a sense of humor, or you really would wind up in the insane asylum. God is. I think He has a sense of humor too, and He can see it throughout the Scripture. And the Lord also has He has a plan of action, and He follows that plan. And our God is different than the other gods of this world, because our God is able to take the faults and the miseries and the mistakes and the sins and the self-will of people and make things work out to His honor and glory in spite of what man may try to do to stop it. And I think a lot of times people look at this conflict that we're in. And it is a conflict. It's a spiritual conflict more than anything else. But it is nevertheless a war. But it's not a two-way war. Most of us look at the idea that this is a fight between God and Satan. But it's not. It's not a two-way fight. It's a three-way fight. It's a fight between God and Satan and man. And God, and man, and Satan. And humans are not going to be any more obedient to Satan than they would be to God. And so that kind of complicates the situation a little bit in our thinking. Because when we think of it as being a three-way fight and a three-way struggle, we can see that there are variables and there are opportunities and there are possibilities that we hadn't imagined before. And many times we want to blame the devil for things when really it's just us. 99% of our problems are our own fault. Amen. Things that we caused, things that we did that we shouldn't have done, or things that we didn't do that we should have done, or our attitude, or just sometimes circumstances get in there too. But we see that our God is a God that is able to work around those things and make things come out to His honor and His glory in the end. And that makes our God different than all the other gods. I was talking a little bit yesterday about how in New Guinea the gods are the ancestral spirits. And they've mixed their ancestral spirits up with so-called Christianity, and so that they have an amalgamation of ancestor worship and Catholicism and Lutheranism and Protestantism and just everything under the sun. And they've kind of put them all, blended them all together, and they just sort of take and pick, choose what they want, and go on their merry way of a terrible existence, you might say. Sometimes it really leads them down some pretty dark roads. But yet God has brought the light of the gospel to them, and it started to change their lives. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my life first and how God has worked in my life in directing me to New Guinea. I started out in this world as a mistake. I imagine there's a few mistakes around the world. And I wasn't exactly planned. And so my mother tried to have an abortion. But back in those days, they were not quite so easy. And there was a witch lady there in right where we live. We lived on the wrong side of the track at that time. But there was a lady there that did the abortions there in Pastorstown, Mississippi. And my mom was just a little too far along. And so she said, "No, I can't do this for you. You're too far along." And so I came along. And I was kind of not exactly expected in this world. And a lot of times I thought, well, you know, it would have been better maybe if the lady would have aborted me. But nevertheless, here I is. Everybody's got to be somewhere. And so I came into the world. And life went on. And my dad came back from the war. And he wasn't there very long. He got transferred to the Aleutian Islands, and then he got transferred to Korea, and then he came back from Korea, and that's really about the first that I really got to know my dad. And we moved to Eglin Air Force, first to Tyndall Air Force Base, and then right over to Eglin Air Force Base, and our next door neighbors invited us to a tent revival meeting, and we went and heard the gospel. And my mom had been saved when she was younger, but had never grown in the Lord. And but the rest of us had never heard. We were just a typical pagan family, you know. And we heard the gospel. Dr. Hugh Pyle was preaching at a revival meeting, and the first time I'd been to church, but you know, it went in one ear and right straight out the other. And I didn't really care too much about God. I wouldn't walk across the street to visit God. I just didn't care about God. 9 years old, and I was just a typical pagan. And God changed my life. I heard the gospel, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. My father got saved. My brother got saved, and our life changed. Our family situation changed, and there was a whole different attitude and a whole different way of thinking in our life. And so God immediately started making me had to have a different attitude toward many, many different things. Now, I didn't give up a lot of sins. Okay, a nine-year-old boy. What can a nine-year-old boy get into? Yeah, I could get into a lot. But I didn't become perfect, and I still am not perfect. And but God did start changing my life, and so we immediately got involved in church, and I started being faithful to church, and God started growing our life spiritually. As we heard the Word of God, it started bearing fruit in our lives, and our lives started changing. And then we got transferred to the Panama Canal Zone in 1957, and that was great. It was wonderful. God put us in a good church down there that had involvement with a lot of missionaries. Missionaries were going and coming. We had a lot of opportunities to serve there in the church. And even as a nine-year-old boy, I was able to make friends with the with guys that came into the Christian Servicemen's Association there and fellowship. And God started, you know, just using us. And during those times, it was really really a great opportunity to develop. And that's when I started developing a desire to bring others to Christ too. And, well, actually, it started right after I got saved. I went to school the next day and asked my teacher if she's saved. She's going to heaven. If she had asked me how to get there, I would have been kind of scratching my head. But there was an immediate desire in my heart to see other people saved. And so it was there that we really were able to get involved in mission work. And Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and Ed Fleming and some of those guys who were working down in Ecuador, they were very closely associated with our church there in the Panama Canal Zone because they came and went through there all the time, going and coming to Ecuador. And when that event happened and those guys were martyred for the Lord, the Lord opened the door of my thinking, my perspective about how I could serve the Lord. And up until then, my only thought had been, as far as career went, was to be a Air Force fighter pilot. And I still today, you know, eat, dream, sleep, airplanes. You know, I don't snore. I'd go as well. So airplanes was my, you know, my life, and even at that young age. But God used that event to change my perspective of what could be done with airplanes. And so from that point on, I started directing my life toward missionary aviation. And God opened doors to meet people and to learn things about it. And from there, we went to Eglin Air. We left Albrook and we went to Lackland. All the Air Force guys, you know, they start there and end there, seems like. And we went back to Lackland, and we're in a Southern Baptist church there. And I was thinking, you know, this is not right, the way these guys are teaching about missions and involvement. And so I'd grown enough in the Lord in the churches that we'd been at to see error in the church. And so we left the Southern Baptist Convention and went to an independent church. And at least I did. My dad was still working as a Southern Baptist, sort of a lay preacher there in a Southern Baptist church, a Mexican mission out of our church. And anyway, the Lord started directing my life toward more toward missions. And I got the bright idea. Well, Lord, I'll finish high school and I'll go to college and I'll go through ROTC and I'll go through the Air Force and I'll let the Air Force give me all this valuable training and then I'll go to the mission field. Sometimes we get our own plans for our life. But the Lord redirected my life. I did go to Southwest Texas State after high school, and I spent a year there, and I loved it. It was great. It was wonderful. But the Lord said, you can't stay here, because this is not what I want you to do. This is not the road that I have for you to do, to follow. And so I surrendered to go to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and that was a bit of a hard decision, because I was going to have to give up that Air Force career that I really wanted badly. And the Lord said, no, you can't do that. Now, how did I know that? You know, I cannot explain it. Sometimes folks say, well, how did you know that you were supposed to go to Bible college? The Lord just put it in my heart. This is what you need to do. And so I did. And continued I got my flight training, did my private check ride the day before we got married. I told my wife, said, we can't get married until I finish this flight training and get my private ticket. And when I get that pilot's license, we can get married. So we did my flight check on Friday, and we got married on Saturday. Went to Bible college on Monday. What a life. And so we went to Bible college. Actually, I've been there a year already, and I'd come back and finish my flight training, or the part of it on flight training. And so went back to Bible college, and I did not like Bible college. I really didn't like it. I best starved to death, first thing off. But I met some wonderful friends and made wonderful friends there during that time. And those friends are still friends to this very day. And so God put me there, and I endured. Sometimes you have to just do your duty and do it, because you've got to go through that phase of life to get to the next phase that God wants you to be involved in. So sometimes there are things in life that we don't particularly want to do or relish doing or enjoy doing, but they have to be done. They have to be done. Can you imagine an aircraft carrier full of guys that never went through boot camp? Boy, that would be like the Russian fleet. Man. <That's what> Oh, me. You know, they would... So there are learning experiences that we have to go through in life. But if we will submit our will to God's will and let Him guide and direct and let Him just take care of the circumstances, it'll work out. It'll work out to His glory. And so, to make a long story short, I was in Bible school thinking I'd go back to Central America as a pilot down there. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'd fly for MAF or Wycliffe Bible Translators or something. And so I asked some counsel and asked a missionary in the Philippine Islands in Mindanao who had operated a plane down there. I said, well, what about this flying? How can I best use this? And so he asked me a very good question that I had to think over and make a determination that would redirect my life a little bit. He said, well, do you want to be a glorified taxi cab driver or do you want to be a missionary? You've got to make a choice. You can't have all of the cake and eat it too. So I have cake and pie and eat it all. And so I had to make a decision. And my doctrinal teaching had been that the local church is the organization that God had ordained to evangelize the world through that organization. And that directed my choice away from what you call a para-church organization. And so I said, I'll go the church. I'll go the local church route. And stick with your local church, because that's what God has ordained. That's the method God has ordained. It's His assembly. It's His body. And so work through His way. Do God's work in God's way. And He'll take care of the rest. He'll make it successful. And so I redirected my plans a little bit. And just every once in a while in life, we have to make course corrections. And so we correct our course and make sure that we stay on our ultimate course. And so God directed my thinking in that direction, and so I committed to that. And when you make a commitment, stick with it. Young people, don't just wander all over the ocean. Set your course and go toward that goal. And if you're working toward that goal and God wants to make a course correction in your life, He'll let you know about it. He'll make circumstances, arrange things. He'll bring people into your life to change your course. But whatever it is, God will. If you are doing what you're supposed to do, where you're at right now, then God will direct you to the next step. So you can't be dead in the water and have any direction in your life and get to your goal. You've got to be moving to be able to have ability to maintain course. And so be faithful wherever you're at. Whatever you're doing, be faithful in that, and then God will make the circumstances such that your courses will be directed in the right way. Then a fellow gave me a book about New Guinea, and it was about flying in the up in the Indonesian side of the island and how the mission work had been opened up by using airplanes in that area. And boy, I just gobbled it up and started studying about New Guinea. And the more I studied about it, the more fascinated. I became with the country, and God used that to direct my country, my direction back toward or toward New Guinea, away from Central America and toward New Guinea. So I had no idea that I would ever go in that direction. But God had been planning all along. He'd been steering my life in that direction. And so we met a missionary from the where we're at now. And he said, I'm getting ready to go on a furlough, and I need somebody to go take care of my work while I'm gone in the States. And so, when you finish school and you finish deputation, would you come take over things there for a while? So I said, well, okay. And so God closed the door so that we could not get into Irian Jaya, or which is now West Papua, and we were not able to get a visa into there. So we were able to get a visa into Papua New Guinea, and that's where we went. 1971, we went there, and that missionary said, "I'm here, but here's the bag. You're left holding it. Bye." That was a little unplanned. And so there God dropped me into a Bible school situation. And at first I was a little bit resentful toward the Lord about this, because I said, hey, wait a minute, Lord. I said, I don't want to ramrod a Bible school. I want to fly airplanes. But there again, I had to make up my mind. I need to do what God has put me in, where He's put me, just do my duty and get on with it. And so we did. And as a result, a few years down the road, the Lord did open up an opportunity to buy an airplane. And because of the Bible school, we were able to do a whole lot more flying through using the Bible school to start New Testament Baptist churches all over the islands. And God used that method. He used that situation to our favor as well as His. And so you see, God always knows the best, doesn't He? Even though we think we may have better plans, God's plans are always the better. And so God used a situation that I did not particularly like, or that I didn't think was fair, you might say at first, but now I look back on it, and I see that God really did know what was going on. And there's just tons of adventures connected with all that. Each one of them, each phase of that life has adventures. And God used it. And now I can see how God was using the little things in our life, not only to develop our life, but to bring the gospel to many different places in New Guinea. And many of those men that have come to the Lord in that ministry are doing great works. Let me just tell you about one thing and I'll quit. One young fellow that came to Bible school, 14 years old, he came to Bible school, and from the Highlands, and really a good guy, but he was kind of torn between some Pentecostal guys that were trying to influence him. And so one day I was talking, teaching about speaking in tongues and Pentecostalism and showing how those things were not scriptural. And he stood up in class and said, "Brother Jim, that's a lie. That's not true. Those Pentecostal guys are not that way." So I thought, okay. So Christmas break came. He took off, went down to Lay, went straight to the Pentecostal church down there. And I thought, oh, that's the last I'll ever see of Evan. But February came and he was back in school. I thought, wow, this is very unusual. I thought he was gone for good. And he said, "Brother Jim, I owe you guys an apology. Said, everything you said about that outfit was true. And I've seen it with my own eyes. And I'm going to follow the Bible now." Amen. And he went on and started a church, helped start a church in Lay. And he won a high school boy to the Lord in the high school in Lay, and started discipling him. And that high school student went on to become a businessman in Mount Hagen, where we had several Christian families that had been out of another church that we had started in the Eastern Highlands province. and they had no church. And so a communist went there. He was from that area, and he was establishing himself as a well-known businessman. And another missionary came and said, "Hey, we need a missionary up there in this place, and they need a church there." The missionary went there, where the communist became his associate pastor, and they started Mount Hagen Baptist Temple. And that church has grown and grown and grown, and it's run over 1,000 people today. And they've got a bit of a Bible Institute there. They're sending out missionary evangelists out of that church, and they've started a number of Baptist churches out from that. So you can see how God takes little things and just explodes them in all directions. And so I just want to encourage you with this testimony. It's not that I've done anything. I was just there. I was along for the ride, more or less. But yet, it was a great adventure, and still is a great adventure. And many times, we just have to hang on, and just hang on, and just keep on doing what we know is the right thing to do, even though we may not like it or we may not feel happy with it. But you know, feelings are deceptive, aren't they? And sometimes if we just do what's right, the feelings, the good feelings, will come later. Come later. And that's the way in our families as well. Sometimes we know the right thing to do. Sometimes we may not agree with the Lord on the particular thing. But if we'll do what we know is the right thing to do, then God will direct it. And we'll get the joy, we'll get the satisfaction, we'll get the contentment. That will come later. That will come later. That'll be a fruit of obeying God's way. And always remember that God never, never, never goes against His own word. And we may have a desire, and sometimes it's difficult to tell our desires from that of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we look at circumstances and we'll think, is this God or is this the devil? Is God trying to keep me from doing something, or is this the devil trying to keep me from doing something? And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, isn't it? And so sometimes we just have to just step out on faith. Step out on faith and try it. And if it's of the Lord and the Lord doesn't want it to happen, He'll close the door. And we just need to accept that and go on with the next thing that God has for us. If it is God's will for us to do something, He'll open the door. And He'll make the circumstances fit our situation so that it will become possible to do the thing that God has put that desire in our heart to do. And so we just need to line up our life with the Scripture. And if it's according to the Scripture, and if it's not violating the principles of Scripture, then we can seriously can think of doing a certain project or whatever it might be. And so God has directed our life in that way, and we've had lots and lots of adventures along the way. There's just tons of stories, like the one I just told you, that we could share with you about how God has directed not only our lives and protected our lives and brought other men and women to Himself, but how God has just made it all fit together. And so we're thankful for your prayers, and we're thankful for your support. We're thankful for your involvement in our ministry there. And it's not just one man. It's all the people that shaped my life through my life. It was a short life, but God brought people into my life to direct me, to channel me into certain situations, to help me, to counsel me, to teach me, to rebuke me, to make me think. And so it's not just one man. And I'm certainly not a hero by any stretch of the imagination, but it's all those people that have God has put in my path to direct me, and so on. I'm thankful for that. So thank God for your friends. God gives you friends who are loyal and want the best for you, and they're doing God's work in directing you, and so thank you for be thankful for them, and I'm so thankful for the friends that God has brought into my life that who has made it possible for me to have these adventures, and I'm looking forward to going back. I don't know what is going to happen next over there, but I know that our God is in absolute and perfect control of the whole situation. So whatever it may be, we know that God will get the glory for it. All things work for His glory and honor, and to our benefit as well. We may not think of it as our benefit at first, but it will. It'll work out to our benefit in the end. And so, thank you again. I hope I can get to share some more stories with you. And there's a bunch of them, and so next time I'll tell you some more about what God has done. Brother John, I don't want to take Brother Scott. He's done a good job this week, so I don't want to take all his time.